Look at somebody and say, Jesus is the best friend I have. Look at somebody else and say, I really mean that. I hope you're ready for this. Let's see if you can relate. Imagine this scene. A couple at home. Honey, bring me a root beer. A root beer. A root beer. Bring me a root beer. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, don't distract me. Now, bring that popcorn in here too, would you? The popcorn! Lord, help her hearing. Come on, sit down here and watch this. And where's the clicker? The clicker, that thing, you know, the remote control. Where is it? Because I ain't watching any more of this sloppy, kissy, huggy stuff. Yeah, there we go. I'll get a real movie on here. Ah, there we go. The Duke. Get him, John Wayne. All right. Yeah, give me some of that popcorn right there. Yeah. What's that? Yes, I do feel better. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, let's see here. Get a little comfy. Where am I going to put this thing right here? It's root beer. Got to set it down. Well, I set it right down right there. There we go. Say what? Oh, I ain't going to spill. Honey, it ain't going to spill off of this 5XX, baby. That thing's on there for the rest of the night. In fact, I might even be able to work it down in my old belly button. Now, do you know how big that thing is? Yes, sirree. I need some more popcorn there. Yes, sir. What's that? We ain't changing it back to that kissy show. We're going to watch the Duke on here. Now, sit down there and hush up. Okay. Right about now. Yeah, he gets an elbow in the ribs. Right about now, the door opens. And somebody walks in. Stands there and looks at them. And they sit there. Glance over. Keep watching the Duke. So, takes another step, a little further into the living room. They don't do anything. Takes another step, and they don't do anything. Walks on into the kitchen, picks up the coffee maker, and walks out and puts it in the back of his truck. Comes back in. They're still watching John. Show them up there, John. Goes in. Gets the microwave. And just walks on out. Goes back in. By now, they don't care. And takes the stove right out the front door and loads it on the truck. And they're sitting there the whole time. Hey, go get me another root beer. I want another root beer. Go get me another root beer. Thank you. Thank you very much. Do what? What you mean you ain't got no more root beer? I just bought a whole case yesterday, and I know I didn't drink it all. Do what? You ain't got no refrigerator either. Oh, yeah, that's right. That fellow was in here. He took it with him, didn't he? Well, you know, I probably ought to call the police on that. Give me a phone. The phone, woman, give me the phone. Hello. Yeah, police. Yeah, I'd like to report a robbery. Yeah, this fella came in my house and just took everything. Yeah, I got a really good look at him every time he passed by, carrying stuff out. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. I saw him the whole time. I saw him when he walked in. I saw him take everything right out the front door. Yeah. No, I didn't try to stop him. No. No, he didn't have a gun. No, he didn't have a knife either. No, he didn't have a club. Yeah, he was alone. That's right. I did not try to stop him. Well, I figured that's your job. You're the police. Yeah. Now, you don't have to talk to me like that. Will you just come on over here and we'll fill you all in? Yeah, no, he took everything. Everything. I mean, the only thing he left was his couch I'm sitting on and the TV I'm watching the Duke on and my wife. All right, well, we'll see you in a few minutes. Uh-huh. Goodbye. Can anybody relate? Think not? Turn to Romans chapter 5. What I just described actually happened in the Bible. Well, it was a little bit different than that. They didn't have any root beer. No popcorn. And no Duke. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Look at this again. Wherefore, as by one man, now this is talking about Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You say, well, how in the world does this relate to what you just did up there? Turn over to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. You see, if it hadn't been for Adam's cooperation, the devil could not have done what he did. And sin could not have entered into the world if it hadn't been for Adam's cooperation. He said, well, what do you mean Adam's cooperation? Look here in chapter 3 of Genesis. In fact, if you've got a marker, put it here because we may come back to this a couple of times or nearby. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. He was there the whole time. He knew what God had said. And when the devil shows up and Eve is in this dissertation, this discourse with the devil, he stands there and does nothing. She eats, and when he sees that she doesn't die, then he eats. The chump let mama be the guinea pig. And when she didn't die, he went ahead and ate. And the Bible says that by one
man, sin entered. By one man, sin entered, and death by sin. And if the devil had not had the cooperation of Adam, it wouldn't have happened. You say, well, how did Adam cooperate? He did nothing to stop it. Absolutely nothing. In spite of the fact that he had God's word on the whole matter. You say, well, how do you figure that he had God's word? I'll show you something. Chapter 1. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all the earth, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now look over in chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Here's God, and he says, okay, I've created you. Number one, I'm giving you dominion over all the earth. Everything else too, but I'm giving you dominion over all the earth. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you and I'm going to put you over here in my garden. Now it's my garden, but you've got dominion. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to dress it. I want you to keep it. I want you to see to it that this garden is protected. You're in charge, Adam. Adam now knows, number one, he's got dominion. And number two, this is God's garden, and he's been given responsibility for it in accordance with his dominion. And so God says, there you go, Adam. And God goes on his way and leaves Adam in charge. Adam has dominion and Adam has charge over the garden. When the devil came, Adam was with Eve. He's got dominion and he's got charge over the garden. All he had to do was say, I have dominion. You, devil, in the form of this serpent, are trespassing. And not only do I have dominion over the earth and over all creatures, this is God's garden. I have charge over it. God has put me in charge. Therefore, devil, I command you to leave. See, there was no name of Jesus. There was just the authority. Didn't need the name of Jesus. But Adam didn't do that. Adam actually cooperated with the devil. And that's how all this came about. It wasn't that the devil could just go in and do that. He couldn't. Get this. The devil actually knew his limitations. Do you understand that? He knew that he could not arbitrarily just waltz in there and destroy things. He knew he could not arbitrarily just step into the garden and kill those two. He knew he couldn't do it. He knew he could not enforce death upon them. He knew that. The only hope he had was if he could get Adam to cooperate with him. And he did. Through Adam's inactivity, he actually cooperated with the devil. Look over. I want you to see the devil's perspective in this. Leaving your place here in Genesis, turn over to Luke chapter 4. This is when the devil was tempting Jesus. Jesus is out in the wilderness, And look what happened in Luke chapter 4, verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. From the devil's perspective, Adam had cooperated with him and literally handed things over to him. That was the devil's perspective in this. This is what the devil saw. Adam, when you go back and you read that story, Adam did not literally say, well, here, Mr. Devil, you just go ahead and take it all. I mean, hey, you know, this being in charge stuff, you know, I got this inferiority complex, and I just don't see how in the world I ever am going to be able to exercise dominion in this world. Have you seen the size of this planet? Have you seen all these animals, let alone the size of this garden? You know how much work it's going to be to dress and keep this garden? I can't handle this, devil. So you take it. He didn't do that. But the very fact that he did not take a stand against the devil with his dominion and authority that had been given to him by God, the very fact that he didn't do that was actually cooperation with the devil, and the devil saw it as all of this has been delivered unto me. This was his perspective. Now, the illustration that I gave, you know, with Billy Bob and Mama. That's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. It's just a variation on that theme. Billy Bob sat there and watched the whole thing transpire. The guy comes in the front door, looks right at Billy Bob, and Billy Bob does nothing. Whose house is it, Billy Bob's? Whose stove? Whose root beer? Whose is all this? It's Billy Bob's. And he didn't do a thing. He just sat there and watched this guy come in and clean him out. But now listen to this. The one thing that that thief did not take was Billy Bob's 52-inch television set, because that was the thing that was distracting Billy Bob from exercising his authority. And so as much as that thief would have loved to have had that brand new, high-definition, digital 52-inch television set, he knew, if I take the TV, that's going to remove the distraction from Billy Bob, and he might stand up against me and force me out of the house. I mean, with the size of that belly, he could just belly bop me right out the front door. I wouldn't stand a chance. So as much as I'd like to have that big old television set, I'm going to settle for everything else. Because as long as that is in place, it is distracting to him and keeps him occupied while I work my work in his life. Pretty heavy, huh? This is what God has shown me is going on in the body of Christ. It's happening today. When I gave that illustration and I said, can anybody relate? Most of you just kind of sat there because, no, you couldn't relate until maybe now. And you're starting to see this form before your eyes. Satan attacks. And even though we don't literally say, devil, go ahead and take it, I don't mind. It bothered me a little bit maybe, but go ahead and take my children. Go ahead and take my marriage. Go ahead, take my bank accounts. Go ahead and take my home. Take my car. In fact, hey, don't stop there. Take my body, my health. Just go ahead. We don't literally do that. But when we sit back and do nothing, it's exactly the same thing as cooperating with him. Because if we do not use the authority and the dominion that God has given unto us to stand up against the devil, and we don't put up any resistance, he will steal, he will kill, and he will destroy. We have actually become his ally. And the whole time, he knows we have authority and dominion over him. He knows it. And he knows unless he can get us to cooperate with him, he can't do these things. And so what he does, he tests the waters. Honey, I'm going to call a doctor and get an appointment. Ring, ring, ring. I need an appointment, please. Yeah, feeling terrible, horrible. Okay, I'll be there. Click. Yeah, doc. 2 days ago, it's been getting worse ever since. Okay, all right. Three times a day. Okay, all right. Excuse me. Where's God in the midst of all this? Where's God in the midst of all this? There was no word. There was no worship. There was no confession. There was nothing before you called the doctor. Nothing wrong with doctors. There's nothing wrong with going to a doctor. There's nothing wrong with taking the pills 3 times a day. But where's God in the midst of all this? There have been times where I've been attacked physically. And I've gone into the bathroom, to the medicine cabinet, and I've grabbed an aspirin or something like that, and I have literally held it up, and I've said, "Now God, this is not my answer, and I know it. But God, I got to tell you something. I feel really lousy right about now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this just to alleviate some of the symptoms. But I want you to know something. By his stripes, I was healed. You sent your word and you healed me, and none of that changes, Father. All I'm doing is taking this to deal with some of these symptoms, because quite honestly, all I want to do is go to bed, and I don't feel like getting up for the next who knows how long." So I've done that before. But if Satan can get us into a mindset to where we leave God out, and we leave our dominion and our authority out of all of these things, and our immediate response is just, "Gee, those pills on TV look like they work really good. And at the end of the commercial, they told me to call my doctor." So I call my doctor. "Say, can you tell me about this new drug? This is like a playground for the devil. He loves it. God doesn't have a problem with people going to doctors. I mean, he used a doctor to write one of the 4 Gospels. So God doesn't have a problem with doctors. A doctor accompanied one of the greatest men in all of Scripture, the Apostle Paul. Luke, he accompanied Paul on some of his journeys. God doesn't have a problem with doctors. But if God's got a problem with anything, it's with people that do the same thing that Adam did in the Garden of Eden. They completely ignore their dominion and their authority in this world and let the devil come in and just do whatever he wants to do. Over in Ephesians, look over there. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul says in verse 15, he says, "Wherefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints," the riches of the glory of his inheritance in every single one of you, "and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to every single one of you in this building here tonight. Put your name in there. Eliminate usward and put your name in there. Who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and who has put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Do you understand that that passage right there is saying that the exact same dominion and authority that has been given to Jesus Christ has also been given to us because we are a part of the body of Christ.
That's right.
And so the incredible thing about it is, in many cases, the devil understands this better than Christians. He knows that we have this dominion and authority. He knows this. And so His work, in a manner of speaking, is really cut out for Him, because it's not just a matter of stealing, killing, and destroying, but He's got to get you into a position of working with Him, cooperating with Him, so He can steal, kill, and destroy. When the kids get messed up on drugs, I mean, in Jesus' name, that's not going to happen here, but I'm speaking in general. Kids get messed up on drugs in Christian homes. They get messed up sexually. They get messed up doing all kinds of stuff. And so many times, the immediate response of the parents is, we got to get them in to talk to the pastor. We got to take them in to talk to the pastor. That's okay. Honestly, that is perfectly all right. But that's generally the immediate response. Do you understand that as a parent, those children, I'll put it like this, those children are your Garden of Eden that you are to keep and to tend. And you've been given dominion and authority in their lives. Now, you can't control their choices, we understand that. But you understand the perspective I'm putting this in. Those children in your home, you have dominion and authority over what goes on in their life. And if the first response is, we've got to get them to a counselor, we've got to get them to a psychologist, we've got to get them in there to talk to the youth pastor, we've got to get them in there to talk to the pastor, the truth of the matter is, you're not exercising any dominion over the devil and the spiritual works he's trying to perform in your home, and you're actually working in conjunction, you're cooperating with the devil, because until you stand up and take authority over it, why do you think he would leave? What reason does he have to go? Just because you want him to? We all want the guy to leave, but somebody's got to tell him. Somebody's got to exercise authority over him. Go back to Desert Storm. Poor little Kuwait. They didn't stand a chance. They needed somebody to come in and exercise dominion over Saddam Hussein. And we did. We took authority in that thing, and we drove Hussein's armies out of Kuwait. And we joined with some other nations to do this. We took a stand against the enemy, and the enemy was driven out. And we cheered, yeah. Look what we've done. That's great. Our military might and so on and so forth. But do you understand you possess a spiritual might that's greater than all the military might? And the military might can't drive out the devil. And God has given you dominion and authority. Let me show you something else. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6. God had taken Adam and he put Adam in the Garden of Eden. And he says, now Adam, you know, I created all of this, but I've given you dominion and authority. Now this is my garden, but Adam, there's nobody to tend it, nobody to keep it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you in that garden. It's mine. But you've got dominion. And I want you to tend it, and I want you to keep it. And Adam did. until a little bit later on. But now look at this, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, when it comes to your body, God has decreed, His will, recorded in His Word, is for you to glorify God in your body. You cannot glorify God in something over which you do not have any control. Therefore, that verse tells us that we have dominion and authority in the realm of our physical Garden of Eden. And when the enemy tries to come against our bodies, we have the right to stand up against him, take authority over him, fight against him, and drive him out. One thing God did not say in His Word is that it was always going to be an easy fight. And that's identified over there when they tried to cast that devil out of that man's son. And the disciples couldn't do it. And they said, how come we couldn't do it? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. So part of our spiritual development is going to be in the area of dealing with unbelief. But the bottom line is, you can't change God's Word. He said, glorify God in your body. That's not just living a holy lifestyle. Do you understand it's going to be difficult for you to fulfill God's work, God's plan, His will for you in this life if you're laid up in a hospital somewhere? If you spend 8 hours a day in bed in pain, it's going to be almost impossible for you to fulfill what God wants you to do when you're in that kind of a condition. But God has said, through Jesus Christ, He has given to you the dominion and the authority over your body. Now, we understand it's not glorified. But I'll tell you what, until it gets glorified or until the rapture or whatever, I've got the right to exercise dominion and authority over my body. That's why I talk to my eyes. I keep telling my eyes, you're healed. You don't need corrective lenses. You don't need contacts. You don't need glasses. You're healed. Jesus Christ didn't die on a cross, take stripes on His back. He did not go through all of that for you to have to be nearsighted. I'll stand right at the mirror and look at my eye. I'll look at myself eyeball to eyeball and talk to me. You say, that sounds crazy. Jesus talked to a fig tree. Now you tell me, which is crazier? Remember Billy Bob and Mama? Remember what the thief didn't take? The one thing that was distracting them. Whatever it is in your life that is distracting you away from exercising dominion and authority, I guarantee you the devil will not touch it. Even if it's pastoring a church of 15,000 people, if that keeps you distracted, he's not going to split that church. He might pull a few people out now and then, but if that keeps you distracted, he's not going to mess with it. If a good job, $85,000 a year, if that keeps you distracted, he doesn't care. Keep the job. Oh yeah, there's a part of him on the inside that just wants to take you out completely. Just ruin that job and all the rest of it. But if that is the one thing that's keeping you distracted from exercising dominion and authority, he's going to let you keep that job and keep that money and everything it can buy. Because he's not concerned about that. What he's concerned about is you waking up and realizing, I just don't have to sit here eating popcorn and drinking root beer while this guy comes in here and takes everything. The moment you understand that, the devil knows he's got a lot of problems on his hands, because he knows he can't stand up to you. When you realize the fullness of your authority and dominion through Jesus Christ, when you realize this, the devil knows his days are numbered for messing up your life, because he knows that you will have come to the realization that you can stand up to him in the same way that Jesus Christ did. Some of you have enrolled in the Bible college. If studying in the Bible college, reading your textbooks, preparing for tests, writing all of your papers, if all of that is going to keep you distracted from understanding who you really are and exercising the dominion of who you are, He doesn't care. He'll let you go to Bible college and learn. But you'll never come to the knowledge. See, He doesn't care. Whatever it is that is the major distraction in your life keeping you from exercising dominion, He's going to touch it. He won't touch it with a 10-foot pole, because as long as that distraction is there, He knows He'll be able to come in, mess around with your wife, your husband, your kids, your health, whatever it would be. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. That's how much He hates you. He'll actually let you prosper in life. He'll actually let you become a multi-billionaire if that's what it takes to keep you distracted. And that just sounds so opposite to some of the ways that we've been taught about Him. Steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. He's saying, yeah, you just go ahead and believe that all you want, it's true. But the way I do it is not exactly the way you've been taught. But that's okay with me. Just go ahead and teach that, because the more that you teach that all I'm after is to cause everybody to go broke, that teaching in itself becomes a distraction. He doesn't care. But what He doesn't like is something like this tonight. Because then it causes us to begin to look at our lives to find out, all right, is that TV, John Wayne, and I Love Lucy, and all the rest of them, is that my distraction? Is my involvement in church my distraction? Is my job, my husband, my wife, my kids, my parents, what is the distraction? What is it that's keeping me from exercising my authority? You say, well, how do I exercise my authority? Same way Jesus did. You talk, and you declare, and you command, and you confess. It is written, thou shalt have no other gods. It is written, don't tempt the Lord thy God. It is written, get thee behind me. Think about this. In your own life, when's the last time you ever said that to the devil? When's the last time you ever said, devil, get thee behind me? And not only that, you get thee behind my kids, because I have dominion and authority in their lives. They are in my home. I am their parent. Get thee behind my parents, my kids. And not only that, husbands, get thee behind my wife, devil. Wives, get thee behind my husband, devil. When's the last time you ever said that? See, this is the example that Jesus Christ Himself has given to us. This is how He operated against the devil. He confessed the word and He spoke. He came up against these situations, and the devils knew what He could do. Have you come to torment us before the appointed time? They knew. He just said, shut up and come out. He didn't mess around with it. And one time He came up against a powerful bunch. He says, who are you? Legion, for we are many. Okay, come out. Just curious. Send us into the pigs. Can we go into the pigs? Hey, you guys want to go live inside a pig, man? That is totally up to you. You know what they're like. Be my guest. And even the pigs had the intelligence to kill themselves. We don't care. We'll just go drown. You can sell us to Bob Evans. He gave us the example. You exercise authority and dominion over the devil by talking to him. This morning, Marcia comes up here. I mean, what a perfect example, what a perfect testimony at the perfect moment. You know, Marcia comes up this morning. She's been having this pain. And so it wasn't just a matter of me laying hands on her and ministering to her and speaking the word of healing over her and calling her healed, which we did. But we also began speaking to an afflicting spirit. And now she stands here tonight and gave a testimony for the first time in 7 weeks. She's pain-free. That ought to tell you something else was involved other than just a pinched nerve. I wonder who was pinching it. But you see, the devil has been so good at getting us to cooperate with him that we don't exercise dominion and authority over him. Our first reaction is anything but taking a stand against the devil. And you look at Jesus. How many times did he minister to people? Ministered to them in such a way to where, by virtue of the words recorded in Scripture, yeah, he's ministering in the area of healing, but it's almost like he's talking to something. It's almost like he's talking to an entity. You're loosed from your infirmity. You're set free. You're made whole. Just on and on. And he gave us these examples. Now see, religion, full gospel religion, will acknowledge these things as being true, but generally don't exercise them. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, think about it. In the Pentecostal / full gospel circles, especially in the traditional Pentecostal churches, there is such an emphasis on, we got the Holy Ghost. We got the Holy Ghost. Sis, boom, ba, we got the Holy Ghost. Looking down on their Pentecostal noses on the Baptists and the rest that don't. Well, you people need to get enlightened. Yeah, and you people need to get normal. We got the Holy Ghost. So what? If you've got the Holy Ghost, the evidence of such, and I don't just mean the ability to shun die all night long, I'm talking about the evidence of the power that comes with the Holy Ghost ought to be there. Jesus, listen to this, Jesus did not say, you shall receive tongues after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And one of the manifestations of that power is the ability to pray in tongues. But the emphasis was on the power. And so people can stand up and talk about, we got the Holy Ghost, we got the power, we got the Holy Ghost, we got the power. Demonstrate it. Use it. Because quite honestly, in most Pentecostal circles, most Pentecostal denominations, most of the people in those churches, I'll put it like this, most of them are nothing more than tongue-talking Baptists. That's really what it basically comes down to. And the same thing is true in what we would call charismatic circles. They tend to be a little bit better about it. But what I have found is it seems like that a lot of folks, it's just a lot of talk. Come out in Jesus' name. Go away in Jesus' name. Leave her alone in Jesus' name. It's like they're saying it because they've been trained to say it, but it's almost like they're not really sure it's real or that it's really going to happen. That's where it takes faith. I didn't see any demon up here on her back. If God had opened my eyes to see it, maybe could have, and your eyes to see it, maybe you could have. I didn't see it. But I know that these things can be attacks of the devil. I know they can. And so I want to exercise my authority. I told you the story about the woman that had the that rare form of meningitis. I talked to the meningitis, told it to leave. It left. She sat up the next morning. Instead of being dead, she ate breakfast, and they sent her home. After a couple of days, they couldn't figure out how she could be healed. They expected she'd be dead. They were ready to call the morgue. Didn't happen that way. And on more than one occasion, these kinds of things have happened. Because I'm special? No. Because the Jesus in me is special. Because what He's given me is special. And He's given me and every one of you a commission to operate this way. But if we continue to cooperate with the devil through inactivity, doing drugs, committing adultery, getting drunk all the time, watching pornography, and all, man, that's no-brainer stuff. We look at that and we say, well, yeah, I mean, obviously a Christian shouldn't do that. And that's the kind of stuff the devil doesn't even really, he doesn't fight that hard about that. What he fights even harder about is getting you to be inactive in your walk with God and not exercising dominion over Him. Folks, you've got to understand something. The devil is absolutely terrified of the possibility of you coming to the point of understanding that you have what God commissioned all the way back there in the book of Genesis. You've got dominion and authority over him. I was talking to a couple yesterday. They're going through some tough things with their kids. And they knew that Kathy and I had gone through some tough things. And they said, we just wanted to talk to you, maybe get your perspective on this. And I said, well, you know, I do things a lot differently now than what I did before. Because now I understand things better. What I would do now, if I had understood things back then the way I understood, and it's not like I didn't have the chance to understand them, I just ignored a lot of what I was being taught. The inactivity part, that was me. I said, well, what I would do now is I would go through the house. You know how people talk about, well, you know, anoint your house with oil and so forth? Do you understand? I want to tread lightly in this, and I'm not going to go very deeply into it, but do you understand that's almost a worthless activity? So what? You put oil on your door. You think that scares the devil? Oh my God. No way, he wouldn't say that, would he? Oh my devil. He said, they've got oil on their door. Oh, we can't go there. Do you honestly think a little dab of oil scares him? Well, people think putting oil on their doors is a barrier to the devil. It's not. It's the anointing of God that you release around your property. That's the barrier. People think that if they say the magic words, plead the blood, that the devil is suddenly stopped in his tracks. So what? You said plead the blood. What's that mean to him? Jesus I know, Paul I know, the blood I know about, but who are you? So what? You look at me and say, plead the blood. What, you think God's up in heaven going to pour a bucket of blood over my pointy-eared little head? We get caught up in all of these things. And believe me, folks, this is a form of spiritual inactivity. We release all these little catchphrases, and we think just because we said certain words, suddenly the devil's going to take off and run. Do you understand? He's not so concerned about powerless, unanointed words. It doesn't bother him. It's the exercising of the authority. As I stand here and think back, and you can correct me right now if I'm wrong, I don't recall anywhere where Jesus anointed anyone with oil. Anybody here, can you recall anything like that? I don't. And if it's in there, I just don't remember it. I don't remember anywhere he did that. But what I do remember is this. He spoke and he said, come out. He didn't even say, in my name. I'm Jesus. Come out. They knew he was Jesus. They even said so. We know who you are. The same authority now rests in you. When Jesus was on earth, he had a body. Now he's gone. And we have become his body, the body of Christ. The anointing the capacity, the capabilities, the abilities that rested in Jesus 2,000 years ago, that potential has now been released into us. If we just sit back and do nothing. You know, we go to God. Here's another example of spiritual inactivity. Father, my kids, Father, I put them in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Now, what do you expect God to do? Set them free. How? Well, I don't know. He's God. So, in other words, you really don't have a clue what's going on. All you said was, God, I put them in your hands. God's authority and dominion is exercised through us. We take a stand. Is it wrong to say, God, I put them in your hands? No. Is it wrong to say, well, God, I put them in your hands, and then go on about life and never again get involved with what's happening? That's wrong. Because, again, I can't see anything, I don't recall Jesus ever using that kind of phrase other than where he says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. I don't recall him ever saying, well, Father, I cast these disciples into your hands. Deal with them. Jesus dealt with this stuff. And see, this is the kind of perspective that we've got to develop. We've got to understand we are God's representatives here on this planet. But if we don't do anything, then we're like, you know, a policeman with no badge and no gun. Can you imagine a policeman on duty, no badge, no gun, no uniform, driving around in a police car? He wouldn't look too official, would he? Other than the fact, for all you know, he's the guy that just gave the police car an oil job and he's delivering it back to the police station. But when you see somebody in that uniform and they get out of that car and they've got that badge and they've got that gun, you're pretty confident that's a policeman. God has deposited into every single one of us the authority of Himself to work against the devil. And even He gave us an example in Genesis on how this authority is released. And God said, let there be. And God said, let there be. And God said, let there be. Likewise, because He's passed that authority on to me, I can stand up and I can say, let there be healing in this body. Let there be peace in this mind. I can say these things. I can take authority over the devil and I can say, let the devil be cast off in the name of Jesus. Take an active approach. Because folks, as long as we just sit back and we do nothing, we honestly have no right to expect any results in any area of our lives. Whether it's our finances, our kids, our churches, it doesn't matter. We have to become active in exercising our authority. And when we do, I'm telling you, you strike terror into the heart of the devil. You will frighten him. You'll get him upset, but you'll get him scared. Remember the Wizard of Oz? How many saw that movie? Remember when they used to show it only on Sunday nights? No Baptist ever saw that. We were always in church. I can remember trying, just thinking, if I could just get sick enough to stay home. Not too sick to have to go to bed, just sick enough to stay home so I could watch The Wizard of Oz. Remember there toward the end? I mean, everybody was scared of the wizard. Little Toto, little bitty, scrawny little mutt-looking Toto, that little dog, grabs that curtain and pulls it back, and they see this little guy back there, you know, working all this stuff. I am Oz, you know. And when he, remember the scene? He turns and he sees they have discovered who he really is, and what's the first thing he does? He tries to grab the curtain and pull it back to hide himself, to try to fool them again. spiritual revelation from the Wizard of Oz. After a message like this, here's a warning. I'm telling you now, here's a warning. After a message like this, the devil is going to fight very hard to use whatever that distraction is in your life, whatever it's been, he's going to fight very hard to intensify the use of that distraction, no matter what it is. To keep you from believing what you've heard tonight, and to keep you from acting on what you've heard tonight. And as long as he can do that, he just keep taking stuff right out of your house. Take the TV. You know, this morning we built the house, right? Tonight we're taking stuff out of it. He just keep taking stuff out right in front of you. Right in front of you. How many times? Just think about this. And I'm going to be closing. Has a sickness. We felt the symptoms of a sickness. And we've done absolutely nothing. Nothing. Other than maybe take some pills or so forth. No sin in that. But I'm talking about exercising authority and dominion. We've done absolutely nothing. And that's just like the couple that sat there drinking root beer, eating popcorn, and glancing over and seeing that guy step inside the front door. They knew he was there. The symptoms of that sickness and disease, you know an attack is coming. It's been launched against your body. You know it. But as long as you just sit there and eat your popcorn and drink your root beer, the enemy's going to do everything he can to intensify that physical attack, to make you as sick as he possibly can. Does fighting this thing, taking this stand, exercising authority, is it always as easy as you're making it sound? No. Sometimes you're going to see results just like that. Other times, man, it'll be trench warfare. But I'm telling you now, if you don't give up, you will see the victory, because God's word cannot fail. It can't. And his authority can only be stopped by those who don't exercise it. But when I take that authority he's given me and the word that he's given me, and I begin to fight, I will win. I will win. This is not a questionable maybe, maybe not. I will win. I will every time. I win. I will beat the devil every single time. And praise God, you've got the same ability. You're a spiritual Mike Tyson. You can give the devil one pop. Sometimes it'll take one round, sometimes it might take 12, but you're going to win. No draws. You will win. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Go ahead and stand up.